Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild. In this season, we're playing through The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. In our last episode, we made our way up to yet another temple to find ourselves another flame to purify our sword and make it strong enough to defeat the evil that is trying to destroy the world. Before we get into it, though, I just want to make a quick little correction on myself. A few episodes back, I said, as a disservice to this game, that you can have criticisms about this game, but I said something that I feel bad about now, where I said something along the lines of, this game has like six enemies. It has so many more than that, and I just wanted to point out, let me read from the good book, the Hyrule Historia here. we can see alone, if we look back, the Bokoblins themselves have like four different variants, right? Mm-hmm. Now the Lizaphos, they're just different colors with a couple things on their arms. They do basically the same thing each time. But right. The Bokoblins, you have your regular sword ones. You have ones with electric ones that are a little different that can affect you differently. Mm-hmm. You have ranged ones. You have big beer belly ones that are a little harder to deal with.
But those are Moblins.
Well, it's the same of the same family. Like, that's how I looked at it. It's just like, yeah.
I mean, like people, when people bring this up in other Zelda games, they don't. They also know that there are variants on said or enemy type.
Yeah.
But that it's ultimately just one enemy type.
But there's also different bird types that we deal with, and it's not just like, oh, different colors are the same ones. There's different birds that do different things. There's also enemies that we've come across very few times that are just maybe forgettable, like the three-headed dragon things. We've maybe fought them like three times in this whole series. Yeah. But there's so many different things.
Like a mini boss turned normal boss.
Sort of.
Or turned normal enemy. It's like a mini boss turned normal enemy.
But then there's like the ancient machinery ones. Like even those, there's like three or four different types of things on there that aren't just like variants of the same thing. They all do things differently. All of that. They all do it differently. I just wanted to bring that up because I'm the one that edits these and listening back on. I was just like, come on, Jeremy, there's more than that. Don't say that. But I wanted to make the correction now.
Jeremy's opinion does not reflect the opinion of me.
Future Jeremy is like, come on, past Jeremy.
To this game's credit, they do have the best Beamos in the series.
Mm-hmm.
Easily. I hate them again, but they are the best.
Yeah, for sure.
And I haven't seen a Pole's voice. So anytime I don't see a Pole's voice in a Zelda game, I'm happy.
It's true. True. Haven't seen a master of any kind, really, either.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Maybe a lava master.
Mayhaps.
So we've got the Fire Temple here. I guess, you know, it's important to ask. Brian, have you played this temple?
Yes. Yes, I have.
For those that have been following along with us, Brian was convinced he's barely played this game. We're like 80% done in this episode, so
that is 30% more than I remembered.
Yeah, do you feel bad that you were like, I really did, because there is going to be the point where you're like, oh, this is where I stopped. And I barely had any more left to do. Why didn't I just finish this?
I think it's more my fear of exaggerating, where I don't want to be like telling a story to someone who just has to like take it on my word, where I'm just like, oh yeah, I almost beat that game, but I just gave up at some point. And I'm just like, I don't know. I got like halfway through it. I don't know. And for some reason, I think I know why. I don't know. We'll get to it. Doesn't matter. We don't need to talk about it. I don't know.
Okay. We've got ourselves another temple, and this one here, I feel so indifferent about this temple. I'm sort of losing it in terms of my, like, I want to analyze this thing and all of this, because it's another very straightforward temple, but at the very least, like, the design sort of sends you in different places, but I also think that kind of works against it, where you never really feel like you know where you are in the temple.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
I could
just to keep
that.
Moving forward.
This one's very good, I think, at like directing you around because there isn't a ton of backtracking into the same room.
Yes.
And it does. This temple is much better at making rooms look different than the last one we were in.
Well, see, yeah, that's this temple definitely does have some variety because you've got the indoor sections and then kind of like all the balcony work and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, well, and it's just a completely different design where this whole dungeon is, there is an entrance and an exit to every single room,
mm-hmm.
right? And that is where we do...
Makes it impossible to get horrendously lost.
It does, yes. It does all the things that Brian hates about what the Zelda series had become at this time, where it is just, you are going forward, you eventually do just loop right back into a room that you just have a key now.
There was actually, I want to give this dungeon credit, there was actually a choice somewhere in here. I just don't remember where it was, and I was like, yay. But...
It's at the Bridge of Decision.
The Bridge of Decision. That's what it was. We'll get to that. Never mind. I rescind my yay.
Okay.
It does do something that we have always asked for a Zelda game to do ever since Wind Waker, which is let us make lava platforms.
Well, we even said in a previous episode, oh man, because I tried to do that earlier on by pouring water out of a bottle onto lava and nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just like, yep, Wind Waker did it once and then they never did it again.
And we're never going to see it again.
Here we have it.
Us jaded farts.
It just took, 99% of the game to get it again. It's fine.
It just took two trips to the volcano before we were able to do anything with water and platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We come across a little plant here that it looks like a little cactus bud thing to the point where if you do touch it, you will take damage. When you hit it, it'll drop just like this droplet of water down enough so to create platforms in here. And yeah, that was a thing that we'd been wanting. Now, before we were able to just like in Wind Waker, pick up jars of water and throw it, we do get that ability later. And I definitely need to talk about the room where they teach us that. But yeah, this is a lava level. We've got a lot of don't touch the lava in here that kept messing me up because there were so many times where I needed to make a jump. And I was like, apparently I wasn't running enough. Also, I needed to circle back around real quick, and Link just jumped off a ledge into the lava.
Mm-hmm.
That happened to me multiple times.
Oh, whatever. He burns his bum.
When we do get into here, we do meet another one of our digging friends. This is Gold. And he
got some new ones here.
Yeah.
In this area.
He talks about himself like he's sort of the legendary, he's the elder of all of them, right? Like, he's the
this
one
is the
that
old man
more.
One.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
He acknowledges your digging mitts and mentions that there is a greater treasure in here that they're looking for. They're always looking for treasure. That's their whole
right.
thing.
This one, though, this is a particularly thorny place for them to be. It is a place of legend. And I get it. You know, if you've played Minecraft and you get into like an area where there's a lot of lava, you got to be real careful. You know there's good stuff down there. But, like, one wrong block and all of a sudden there's just a bunch of lava in your face. So he's like, yeah, you know, I've spent years carefully mapping this place out, he says, I think.
Gold does mention here I've got a secret for you. When you come to this one path, there are two statues facing each other. Jump into the one that's asleep. And it's just sort of like, that's not much of a riddle. Like, you're literally, like, because we will come across this thing, and these statues, it's clearly, like, one's awake, one's asleep. And it's not like we had to find anything. The first guy we talk to in here tells us the solution to this thing. Did they have a more cryptic thing at some point, and they were like, this isn't working, let's just flat out tell them?
Well, and then it also feels like a DS Zelda game thing where they're gonna tell you something that you'll need later, write it down because I'm just gonna like in prose tell you what to do.
You're going to have an exam at the end of the year. You'll be able to use your notes.
Yeah, so like go find it on your map and write it down. And I'm just like, I am 99% certain that when I get to wherever this spot is in the dungeon, I will not remember whatever you just said. But thanks, buddy.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you there, Brian. Even though there's another person who I think repeats the riddle within the dungeon, by the time I got to the Bridge of Decision, I didn't remember which one I was supposed to jump into. And I picked the correct one on accident.
50-50.
Yay!
I mean, Tegan, are you in agreement with us that this is just like, just sort of a dumb design in general?
Yeah, this is weak sauce for sure. Not my favorite, but you know, what can you do?
What if I told you that most of the dungeons are like this? You just didn't see it when you were going through.
No.
You know what's fun about? Let me just open up on the Bridge of Decision. You know what's really fun about it is that, like, if you stand there and look at your map, there is clearly one way to go. If you just have to, like, look at the basement level. Like, there's ground over here.
Yeah,
there's no ground over here. But I still like the, ooh, I get to decide which way to go. I wonder what's over on the other side. And you jump off the Bridge of Decision. It leads you down a just straight path, a loop all the way back to the top. And I was like, let's go jump off the other side and see if there's like some treasure or just something dumb. And no, it's death. It's just death. And I was so upset.
We also have in the same area. Again, I just feel like at one point this had to be more cryptic because we save one of the, why do I always forget the name of their
Magmas
species?
The Magmas. The Magmas. Sorry. Yes. That's actually a pretty good name. Because we have the Magma. Yeah. We save one of them and they flat out tell us after we get the map that there is a secret room here. They should have just been telling us, keep an eye on your map. There might be something in there for you. Because if you look at the map,
now that you can
it
burrow.
Shows a room connected right to it. No, you blow up a wall.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But they flat out say it's not like you can't figure it out and then you get a hint. They tell you first and foremost, there is a hidden room in here. And like, it's just like you gave me multiple
hints. There's a draft coming through the door.
Without asking me if I needed help. And it's just
because
like,
I burrowed. I burrowed because he was like, there's a draft coming in here.
You didn't burrow
somewhere.
Because we haven't gotten there yet.
No.
Oh.
No, at that point, you have the item and you would expect to use the item. And that's not what you do.
I went underground.
Because
I went to the
next part of the room, burrowed into the ground, and spent forever trying to figure out where the secret was underground.
Oh, yeah.
Was there a bomb under there?
Because
I forget if there was a bomb under there. No, okay. Yeah, I was like, there's got to be something I'm missing.
I was like, I'm not supposed to bomb the wall, am I? That doesn't make any sense.
I immediately knew I needed to bomb a wall. And what I was trying to do was swing my sword against the wall. A classic Zelda move that we do not do in here at all.
I did that too, and I've been doing it through this whole game. Does it do anything?
No.
No.
Okay. I'm not crazy.
They just skipped that whole cool aspect of the long-running physical sort of hint that you could get throughout, literally, Zelda 1. This was a thing. And or did it make a noise in Zelda 1? Or was it in Link's Awakening? Or Link to the Past?
I think it did in Zelda 1, but I don't remember.
We'll maybe correct ourselves in a year. So we do get a key from there that just lets us go back into another room. Once again, I had some things out of order here. We get an upgraded version of the digging mitts, and these are the Magma mitts. And this is where I was like, right, I should be able to remember their name now because we get
Gold
item
gives
of their name
to
sake.
Us. He's like, hey,
no,
I see you got digging
mitts.
The
second guy.
The second guy? Okay.
It's
but he tells
Silva,
us about him.
Yeah, Silva's the one that gives us those mitts.
Okay.
After he was planning on lying to us was that Silva that did it? I can't remember if
Platts
one of them was going to
Platts.
Yes.
The one who lies to us. So
he was going to trick us until he was just like, oh, wait, you're not just some other human. I see that you have some special stuff from us that you must have helped one of our people out.
Yeah, but then he still knows that, like, he's going to get in trouble for being a dingus. So he runs off as soon as his superior shows up.
Yeah. We do have to fight the... Now, you talked about not having masters in this one. We do have one, but they don't call it a master. It's called a Mugmanos, which I...
Mugmanos!
Yep. Yeah, it's Mugmanos, the hands of lava.
Aren't they great?
Isn't that
great? There's going to be only like five people that get that joke.
Yeah, for the five people who got that one, kudos.
Yes. These guys are interesting because the first time we come across them, we cannot fight them. We have to get under a little piece of rock for them to lift us up to exit this room. But we eventually find a way to harness these water cactus bulbs that we've come across. There's a room that we go into that this is the room that is supposed to teach us that we are supposed to stab them to get them stuck on our sword in order to then fling them wherever we want. I had the hardest time figuring this out because even when I asked Fi, what she told me is something. There's an 85% chance that you need to either use your Gus Bellows or your Beetle. You didn't need to use either of those for this. Neither of those did anything helpful here.
Love you, Fi. Love you, Fi.
I had to look it up. I had to look it up to stab.
Look, we're having a party in the sword right now. Me and the three flames are like trashing it up in there. So, I don't know. Use your Beetle. Bye.
Yeah. So I only figured it out because at the end, these things are all over the room. But at one point in the room, there is a sculpture and there's one behind the sculpture. And after trying beetles and jars and everything else, I finally was like, I guess I can stab this thing through here. And that's what I figured. Like, you have to stab it through this sculpture, which is supposed to teach you that that's what you're supposed to do. But... Real flimsy logic.
If it was the only one in the room, it would make more sense because we would know that we needed to like interact with that in a certain way. And if there was only one way for us to reach it, because you could hit it from the back, there were all these other things that you could do to interact with it. I thought maybe I needed to hit it in a way that it would launch in the air and hit the frog, the thirsty frog statue that's over there. But I could not figure it out.
I am glad that there were lots of them because, see, the stochastic nature of the Wii controls leads me to not being ever able to stab the air when I want to. But sometimes when I'm just swinging wildly, I stab the air when I don't want to or don't really care. It just happens. And so one of them just happened to be in the way when I randomly rolled a stab on the Wiimote's controls. this will going forward just continue to be a huge problem for me. It's one of the reasons why Beamos aren't fun anymore. My sword just never knows when I'm telling it to stab.
I think you and I ran into the exact same problem, and we'll get to that.
It's terrible.
Tegan, I mean, you know, this is your second time playing this in the last year, but did you have issues here the first time you were doing it? Do you remember?
The first time, yes. So many issues. The second time, with the button controls, absolutely not a single issue. Wow. So easy. No problems. To be fair, though, it feels like everything after the sand ship was not a problem. Everything else has been the easiest thing I've ever done just because of the sheer level of frustration.
Your path is just so clear.
Mm-hmm.
It's all relative, yeah.
It's like I've reached Fee's level of clairvoyance, and I'm like, there's a 90% chance that I have to do this to get through this room, and then I just do it.
There's a 90% chance that I'll just take a step and be chill about it.
Mm-hmm.
But with this ability, we can fight the Mugmanos by throwing some water on them and then blowing them up. And there's one, the first one we come across, if you go back to it and fight it, it gives you a path for an empty bottle. Mm. So I don't know if
what?
You know that.
Are you serious?
Yep.
I missed that. Are you... I need that.
I have to go back here.
Do you still have two?
Yes.
Ugh. Where did I get? Where did you get the third one? I forget. I got a third one at some point.
I've got four or five now.
What?
I only have two on me. I think there might be six bottles total that you can get.
I'm sorry. This is the beginning of a segment we apparently should have started 10 weeks ago. It's time for Jeremy's bottle corner. Jeremy, how'd you get so many bottles? Because I'm
Jeremy,
very,
how'd
very.
You,
curious.
How'd you get them bottles?
How'd you get so many bottles?
Well, let's go look in the bazaar real quick, and we'll go see that. So, you can get a bottle here. I got another bottle in one of the treasure chests that you get in the one of the goddess treasure chests, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe
you can go and check that out.
Maybe that's what I did.
I don't. Do you guys really need those bottles though? Because I've been fine with having two in my inventory this whole time.
Yeah, I guess so. I
two is fine until they ask you to put something in a bottle.
And then you're out of bottles.
I have stamina potion.
Yeah.
Here.
I have five bottles.
God.
So,
jeez.
I didn't even know there
while
were five
While we're on
bottles
the subject, I want to ask, when you enrich a potion or infuse a potion, is that permanent or just for that potion?
Just for that potion.
Just for that potion.
So then I'm justified in not doing that. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm never
going to. If you never want to use your bugs, I mean, if you're never going to use your bugs, you might as well.
I guess. It just seems like a waste.
The only one I want to enhance is the health potion, just so I can turn it into grandma's soup, like two full refills. But the other ones, I've never even considered using them. I used the shield potion because that knocked out two birds with one stone, but I never enhanced it.
Anyway, we do need to get back to it. So the magma mitts, one of the things that it gives us, I mean, this is the key thing, that it lets us dig underground, similar to the way the doggy did in Twilight Princess, but it turns into this weird little digging minigame, mini game that I just think is just silly. Like, it's not even, like, it just looks weird to me, and it's fine, but it's just, it's silly. I don't know. Especially if there's a point where we see sort of a first-person view of one of the magmas down below us, and it just looked like some old N64 game. And I was like, what am I looking at here? Like, this is just so strange.
Yeah. It's a little bit awkward, especially when you have to fight the only enemy that shows up down there, which is not fun.
Well, and you only have to fight it, like, one time.
Right.
Every other time you can avoid it.
Yeah.
And
did you know you can speed yourself up down there?
Yeah.
You can use up stamina. They don't teach you this stuff.
Yeah. I you know me, Jeremy. I immediately tried to use stamina after we had to use stamina for a boat. I'm gonna check.
Fair.
But the thing that trips me up is that your direction is kind of wonky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's never consistent. It's never consistent. You will come out and go back in, and the whole map will rotate in a way. Like, it changes. And it's like, what is the point of this? And they even tell you can hold down the L trigger to see above ground. Most of the time, you can't look above ground. Like, most of the time, something is blocking your way, and you can't look up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why? Why did you do it this way? Anyway.
I think it's because they had plans to really use this as a way to manipulate the ground above you or use that as a way to see or get through. And it never really does. It never really gets any more complex than it does in this dungeon.
I'm going to post a picture of this first-person view underground because it's hideous.
I do like Moldrums, though. I do like fighting Moldrums. I think they're funny.
They don't give you anything.
No, but they're funny little guys. I just like them.
I mean,
I just think they're neat.
Don't, yeah. Don't worry. I've fought every single one of them. I don't leave those underground sections until they're completely destroyed. But it'd be nice if a red rupee would drop when they died or something.
It would be nice if anything. Yeah, anything. Anything at all, please.
They don't really like, they're not protecting something. Maybe if when you saw one, you knew, ooh, he's got something guarded down here. You could just sneak past him if you wanted to, or you could pick up, you know, some rupees or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, the but only no, thing they do is make it hard to traverse. That's it.
They're just annoying. And even then, it's not really that hard to get past them. I finally, on the last one I fought recently, got hit by one of them, and he just takes a heart away.
Yeah, they're not even that strong.
You don't. They're not a game ender. They don't send you back to the beginning of the area. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I was so terrified about.
So we go through all this. We get these things, and yeah, we eventually come across a bridge here,
making our way. Tells to us the bridge tells, of decision.
Tells us to jump down one side, and it's like, okay, you do that, and it's kind of cool, right? Like it'd be kind of cool if you. This is the other thing. If you pick wrong, you just hit the ground. You go, ha, ta, 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 and then you go back up again, right?
I wish
and
I'd
it's like,
wrong.
Then you just pick the other one.
I wish I'd picked wrong first and had my expectations tempered because I jumped off the other side and I was like, free choice. Woo, this is awesome.
But the platform like appears at the last second and it's like, okay, that's kind of cool in theory. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you told us that this was going to happen when we got to the entrance and then reminded us, it took any impact of us like making the choice and like dealing with the consequences of our choice, like make it where we had to do a thing that if we picked wrong, we lose all our rupees or something. Right. Like do something that actually like costs us something.
Or let both sides work to move forward, but one side just has a ridiculously hard enemy. And
like
an extra mini boss.
Mm-hmm. We do get into a room that we have to dig down below. Now, the thing is that when we dig down there, it's not just coming up on another side. Sometimes we have to hit switches down below to move a door, and you have to do it. You have to go from one side to move a door somewhere. There's also these, this one section has buttons that you have to hit to light these things. Now, this is where you might want to hold down the thing to look above to remind yourself what order you're supposed to hit these things in. Maybe.
Yeah.
It's a very easy puzzle to figure out.
Be like, there. Like, I was like, oh, it's a backward dead Kennedy sign. Okay.
Okay. Anything else to talk about in this dungeon before we move on?
I mean, I like this little switch lighting up the torches thing. I thought that was kind of fun, but, I don't know. The boss keys. I don't know why, but for some reason I find them fun now. I don't know.
You found
really?
This
is the worst one.
The last two
I think
or
this
three.
Is, Brian, I think this is our last one, too. So
the last two or three, I was just like, that was, you know, that was kind of fun. And I'm like, okay, it was fun. And by this one, by the time this one came on, I was like, ooh, look at it. All right, right there. There we go. Yep. I bet if I flip. Mm-hmm. And what? Yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it.
What I liked about this key is that it reminded me of Missing No. And I had a flashback of playing Pokemon and being
That's
online
true.
And learning about these things and cheating the game and getting those rare candies and beefing up my Pokemon. Wow. That was a good nostalgic flashback. So thanks. Thanks, Zelda.
Truth.
So we get into the boss room here and we got a good old fashioned battle with Girahim again.
Yay!
This is how I knew. This is how I knew I had done this for sure. The whole dungeon, I was like, I don't know, this all feels familiar. And the fact that I thought we would have, I remembered us fighting Girahim more up until this point. And I was like, this is really, is this the third time we fought him? Or the second
time? This is only the second.
It's the second time. So I'm like, okay, so I clearly have done this because I know I've beaten him more than once. So yeah.
Yeah. And Tegan, I took your advice from the first time that we fought him and had a lot better time with this battle.
Yeah, right? It's a lot easier.
Pay attention to his hand or something?
It really just comes down to me not being frantic with my sword swings again. I need to actually be taking my time with this stuff. I got to remind myself of that the whole game is about doing this deliberate sword slash, right? And so when I am frantic, sure, there's a chance I get some hits in, but if I take things a bit slow, because all these enemies move really slow anyway.
If you just take your time, give yourself a deep breath before you go in, then it's okay.
Yeah.
As soon as you start to panic, you lose it.
Well, see, like with this one, I stood up. I centered myself. I got ready to fight this. But like with this, you know, with like just like with any Wii game or like with Wii Sports or whatever, you learn what you can cheese. And so I know which bad guys I can cheese. I know, you know, when I don't have to like take it seriously or take the motion controls too seriously. But definitely with this, I was like, all right, this will be important if I approach it this way.
This one, I enjoyed this battle because he had multiple phases and he attacked you in a way that didn't feel as predictable. Right, he would disappear, and if you stayed in one spot for too long, he would come from the ground and damage you that way, or he'd come up from the sky and come smashing down on you. He has a bunch more of his little floating red spike things that he shoots at you, and they do a bunch of different things on here. You know, they do it at different angles, but I just dodge them. At some point, he surrounds you with them. And I believe you're supposed to do a spin move there, otherwise you're going to take damage.
But that was fun to realize, because he gives you the one that's like a mohawk across you, like across your center plane. And I was like, that's crazy. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that. And when I did a spin attack later, I was like, oh, that's cool. All right, I'm in.
He does mention at the beginning of this, so we do need to talk about there is a cutscene at the beginning.
Oh yeah.
He brings up the fact that he knows, because of the drawings on the wall, that there are actually more than one stone of time, or what are they called? The
gate of time.
The gate of time, right? He knows that there's another one. And so he's just like, okay, I'm so, and, you know, he's talking in his way, and you know, it's just fun to hear him talk.
He's like, I know you know where it is. I'm like, I forget, man. I don't remember. There's a couple places that I'm pretty sure I know where it is. It would take me like an afternoon to find the right spot. But yeah, I guess he's right. I guess I do know where it is. I just didn't remember in this moment.
You were just like, I don't know.
And he was like, I know you know.
Right, like I'm approaching this like, you'll never find them. I'll never tell you where they are.
I'll never tell you anything because I can't remember where I land in Farron Woods to get to it.
Pry that information from my cold, dead body.
I'll just lead you to the dragon. That'll help.
Yeah, you know, what we should have just be like, here, you know what? Take Fi, and then he'll get so annoyed with Fi that he'll give up everything.
Oh my God, you're right.
Is it before or after the fight that he gives us the like Vegeta Goku speech? Because like he gets mad and he's like, I'm a pure-blooded warrior from the royal class and you're just a commoner, and how could a unskilled low-class worker just beat me in my pure inbred blood? Like,
I like your Vegeta voice.
That's a pretty solid Vegeta.
He goes off on us like, I'm special and you're not. Nana nana boo boo. How are you beating me? Crap.
Yeah, it's after the fight. He's so incensed that he got beat by a human and a child.
A low class wretch.
Before the battle starts, he takes his cape off and he shows some more of his body that is just like turning into like black stone.
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah, he's talking about how, and he's making a point of just how exquisite his physique is, and he's just like, look at me.
Look
I am
perfect. Look how perfect I am.
Now, again, Tegan and I know a bit more about why he's like this and everything, and it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I might too. Who knows,
we will
at this
get
point.
To it. Who knows? Just got that locked away there. But yeah, then when we do beat him, that's when he starts getting really upset, because he thought for sure he was just like, okay, whatever, you've been a pest this whole time, but now I'm gonna take the gloves off, literally, and take you out here. And it still was not enough. What was the thing? He says, this was one of my favorite lines, though. He's just like, yes, I've pretty much got it all, though there is one teensy tiny thing I lack, namely mercy. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
that
right?
Is,
oh,
then like,
so
oh
good.
That's so good.
He licks his lips.
God, what a great.
Tell me you're an anime villain without telling me you're an anime villain.
I love
also,
him.
He also mentions about him and Link being tied by the thread of fate, but then he says, meet me in battle and the thread of fate that binds us will be soaked crimson with your blood.
So good.
It's so good.
The fighting for Girahim is so good. What a creep. I hate him so much. Great job.
But yeah,
job,
then he
Bill.
Gets
fine.
Upset.
You know what? I guess we should give Bill props when Bill does things well.
Yeah. He's better than Zant. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So let's go ahead and let's get through this part here. We beat him. We get a new flame. We now have the Master Sword. Though it's
He's
not
like,
the complete.
I need to go smell that fire.
We also got another shiny triangle on our hand.
Oh, yeah.
Still don't know what that's about, though.
Da-na-na-na.
Who is that? That means you're getting turned down for the job interview.
Yeah. But we still got some more things to do. We do need to go back to the Sacred Grounds. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll just see what's going on in the Sacred Grounds. I'm sure it's nothing. I'm sure there's nothing going on in the Sealed Grounds.
I'm sure everything's chill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grease is mm-hmm. probably still crying, beating
everything
up a wall.
Is fine.
You
TM.
Know. We'll go catch some bird feathers. How about that?
Hi everybody. My name's Tegan Somerset.
I'm Rocky Hardy.
And I'm Brian Cartwright.
And we are Impossible Coin, a podcast about video games. Join us every other week as we discuss gaming news.
Did you know he tried to smuggle $100,000 across the Canadian border?
Genre differences.
Sometimes it's your turn to press the button, and sometimes it's your turn to block.
And deep lore. I've spent so long on this, Brian, you can't do this to me.
We will sell you nothing and solve none of your problems, but we sure are fun.
Impossible Coin,
a podcast about video games. See you on Thursdays.
Thursdays.
Hello, my name's Jonathan Dunn, host of the O3C podcast. Every week I'm joined by my two best gaming buddies, Chris and Minty, and we talk about the games we're playing, the games we love, and how they rank alongside our sacrosanct top 100 favourite video games of all time lists. Deep dives into gaming mechanics, history and lore abound, all topped off with lashings of irreverent wry British wit, witterings and wisdom. For details on the show and more, head to o3c.games and tune in every Monday on the HyperX Podcast Network.
So we're back, and we go to the Sealed Grounds, and this is where we originally had to fight the imprisoned before, the big old black jelly bean looking thing, jelly bean with teeth. And we get back here, and we do notice, I don't know, I mean, you guys noticed that there's a track going around the top of it now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not at all.
I didn't, because I always go to the... statue behind the temple.
Yep.
Okay. I dropped it in the Sealed Grounds, though. I guess technically it's like you guys did it better, because I'll go in the Sealed Grounds, then I have to go into the temple time or whatever, and then talk to them, then go back out again. Yours makes a little more sense. Either way,
I go there looking for bugs. There's guys to kill there usually, but yeah, I go back that way. I think we also get to say hi to a Goron when we go that way too.
Yep.
So, it's got everything
friend.
I want. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Our geologist. Yes.
Which he mentioned something about an arrow in repose And I have no idea what that means, and I have not looked it up.
do we get a, like a fire arrow or something? I don't know.
No. That's the other thing to bring up. We have all the items now.
Yeah.
That's something to mention. So, like, outside of a couple other things that are, like, context sensitive for the story, you could go back to all these areas, find a bunch of goddess cubes, do all that, get a bunch of extra stuff.
And meet back here on... Oh, sorry.
No.
Sorry.
Not yet.
I just had to... Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah, there's still some things for us to do. When we get in there, we talk to Impa, and she is thrilled to see that we have the Master Sword now, and we should be able to interact with the... the Slab of Time. That's what I'm going to call it.
No.
The Gate of Time.
The Gate of Time.
It's a big slab
We already returned the slab.
It's a special, very, very cool gear.
Not yet. It's still just a big... It's just a monolith.
Yeah,
still.
It's just a monolith.
Monoliths are cool, though.
Monoliths are very cool. They're our friends. Or something.
Let's talk about some monoliths for a little bit.
Uh-oh. All right.
Top five monoliths of the year.
To talk about Xenoblade. We can do that later.
Oh, man. Okay.
So we start to interact with it, and then another earthquake happens.
Oh, no.
We go outside. The imprisoned is coming back out again.
Oh, no. It's Terry.
Though, if we didn't go down there, it wouldn't start. So we could just deal with it being there being an earthquake this whole time forever and ever.
Right. He's like, where is he? I told him.
I mean, that sounds reasonable to me.
2:15? Yeah. When are you going to be? He should be here. He's never late.
This time we do have a friend in Groose to help us out with his Groosinator.
Mm. Yeah.
Just a catapult.
Mm-hmm.
Just throws bombs.
Groose him up and Groose him down.
Groose is so helpful.
It is more than a catapult. He has built an entire monorail system around the opening, and he has a cart that drives along it. Yep. And that catapult is on top of that cart.
Mm-hmm.
Do not.
It's pretty fun.
He built all that.
He didn't know how. Yeah, he didn't know. He didn't even know he had it in him.
You're right. And instead,
he's like, I don't know.
He ruined a cultural landmark. So that's fine, yeah. I guess.
Hey.
Save the temple or save the world, Tegan.
You know.
He really only had to build one across the gap of the entrance to the temple, because that's about as far as I ever drove it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he didn't need to make it go all the way around, but that's fine, I guess.
Tegan, can I ask you a lore-related question?
You can ask me many lore-related questions.
What about right now? Is this where Kakariko Village springs up?
Oh, what a good question!
Why? Wait, why? Why, though? Why?
Because we have a Sheikah person here. I don't know. There is a deep, dank evil down at the bottom of a well sort of thing. I didn't know if, like, the Sheikah just kind of formed a Kakariko village around an evil well here. I don't know.
I mean, that's a real good question. No. Good train of thought, though.
Okay.
Good try, Brian.
This is actually where Ordon Village ends up.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
This is Ordon. Hello. Welcome to Ordon Village. Population?
Yeah, just like
Twilight evil spirit thing. Yay!
Why?
Why? Why what?
What's the connection?
It's the same place on the map.
You can't go by the map.
Yeah, you can. You overlay the map. You overlay the maps and they're perfect. But also, this is actually where a different place.
Perfect. Perfect.
This is also where a different place in Breath of the Wild shows up, but we're not talking about that yet. And that's okay. We'll get there.
Jeremy, as Shakir once said, maps don't lie. So
that's true. Maps don't lie, but also no, it's okay. We'll get there. There are spoiler things that I'm not supposed to talk about. So yet.
I'm okay. Oh, here it is. I've got the
I also have the big book.
I got the good book here.
Listeners, he's got the book again.
The good let's book. See. Don't call it the good book.
let's see. No, it's not in here, Tegan. Sorry.
Chapter 5, section 2. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, we're getting way too close to my childhood here. Let's not. Let's not start calling out book verses.
We gotta fight a thing.
We gotta fight the imprisoned again.
We gotta fight
this time
man.
With hands. He's got hands, and they're dumb again, because he's got the little jelly bean fingers on
they're
it again.
So dumb. Mm-hmm. Look at him.
But you don't really even cut them.
He walks like a mummy from like a 1950s movie.
His arms are way too long.
They're so long, and they have no muscle definition at all.
No, oh, yeah, he can barely lift himself up, which is to our advantage because he takes.
Girahim would laugh at his. Lack of muscle definition.
right. But we do the same kind of fight. We got to hit the little toesies to knock him over, and then we got to hit his forehead. But one thing that's really annoying now is that with those arms, when you knock him over, you can't just run around him now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He basically blocks the path to where you have to now jump down, go around him, and then like try to get yourself back up there.
God,
or you could glitch against the wall or something.
So I think the game is set up so that it's supposed to make you run behind him, because like depending on where I was when I knocked him down, sometimes you would see the animation of Link running in front of him so he didn't get crushed. But then there was like one or two times where Link ran behind him, and so I spawned behind him after.
I never got that.
Yeah, if you stick like closer to the body, he'll run behind him, and if you are further away from the body, he'll run in front.
I should have finished off one of his back toesies with an arrow, because a couple arrow shots will take those out. So that would have been a good idea.
I should have done that.
Arrows
that
are
been
very
smarter.
Good in this fight.
Yeah.
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 When I'm waiting for Groose and he's just taking forever, I'm just like just unloading arrows on his back feet.
He's like, hang on, I gotta reload my thing, and then I gotta swing all the way around because I built a very big track instead of a very short one.
But yeah, we can switch over to Groose mode and launch a bomb at the imprison, which will stun it for a second and slow it down a little bit.
Yeah,
so that's
take
nice
out a foot,
that's
usually.
Oh, could you? I never did. I just always hit him.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so much body, so I'm just like, just hit him in the body and slow him down for a second.
Oh, well, no. I in the amount of stun time you get from a Groose Bomb, you can take out.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. But we go through that. We seal it away. We do a little symbol here, and that puts it away again. Unfortunately, not for the last time.
Shing, 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 shong, shing, shong.
I love this part, especially that last little motion that Link does where he sort of puts it, points his sword down and just sort of does a jab towards the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool.
And the spire goes down at the same time. It's pretty cool.
I wish we did more of that.
So we did that. We can get back to what we were doing before. We can go ahead and use our power now to activate it, turn the slab of time into the gate of time. They break apart into these little tetraminos, and then they reform, and then they reform again.
They're like little goddess cube tetraminos.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, we get to see the cool gears that we saw before Impa went and blew it up. But fortunately, she knew there was a second one. Like, why? I don't know. Like, Tegan, is there a reason there's two? Other than convenience?
Convenience. Door go in, door go out.
Okay.
For reasons that would have been useful in Twilight Princess, where there's only one mirror into the Twilight Realm. Whoops.
Yeah.
It's like Stargate. They had to have two. Like, there were two on Earth, and then they always had a backup.
Always. But in contact.
Until they blew up like one or something.
Yeah.
So we go through here, and the old one goes and tells us that, you know, they go and say it in such a cryptic way where they're just like, the person you've been looking for all this time is waiting for you over there. And she's like, you can just say Zelda. you know her name. Just say Zelda's over there. Like you, but also I'm just like, what are the, so they've been, haven't been doing anything else this whole time either, because we get into there and Impa and Zelda are just standing around and it's been like 10 hours in our
game
time.
It's been 10 hours our time.
They've, it's been days. It's been possibly weeks.
Yeah.
They've been doing,
what took you
very,
so long?
Very important sacred goddess training regimen stuff.
Yeah.
No, well, wouldn't we teleport to when they showed up? Like, wouldn't we just walk in like 5 minutes afterward?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
theoretically.
You know, I think so. I was going to say,
depends on
they've
how
been waiting.
Wibbly wobbly your timey-wimey is here, honestly. Yeah. And it's pretty wibbly.
Well, they clearly need to us to show up so that she can say these things and then finally do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we get into here. We have gone into the past so many years, you know, like hundreds of years.
Dare I say possibly. A thousand?
Dare is I it say a thousand?
Year one.
Well, yeah, but what year is it now? Like, what's current year?
I don't know.
It's yeah, like exactly. Literally right after Skyloft got created. So it's thousands of years, right?
No, Skyloft has just gone up.
Yeah.
Demise has just been sealed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Things are just settling.
Here's the problem. We're just in this room.
Yep.
Sure, right. We went back in time. We're in an identical room.
But she has to tell you how cool it is out there.
It's
so,
so
rad outside. You have no idea. You have no idea how cool it is.
I was so disappointed the first time we went through this because I thought for sure this was the Ocarina of Time moment. I thought we still had a whole
stop.
Other.
You gotta stop ruining
second half of the game now.
You gotta stop
they
ruining
did
3D
it.
Zelda games for yourself like that.
They did it. They set the bar. And
you're like,
then
I'm gonna go outside.
It's like,
Wind
no,
Waker. I'm gonna go out
yeah.
there. No, you're not gonna go out there.
But it's even more. It's even constrained. It's constrained even more because we're not even like we can't even like see it in the distance.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a window that we can look outside and we can see what the world looks like out there. We're in an identical looking room, but it doesn't matter what time it is. That's the thing that's so annoying with
it. It doesn't matter because your entire world is right there. It's Zelda. That's your world. That's all that should matter.
I once again. Much like when you brought this up in Wind Waker, have never, ever thought of that. I was mad that, like, I'm just like, yeah, I bet it's really cool out there. Thanks for telling me about it. Let's do this cutscene, I guess. But, like, yeah, I don't know.
I've got high hopes, Brian. I always want to
hope this game's
that...
almost over. I guess,
but I didn't
I guess
know that
they
at the
could
time.
Have re—I guess they could have reused the map the way they always reuse the map in this game, and given us some pastime stuff. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, or just something more than just an identical looking room. That's all I'm saying. Like this is
yeah.
It's so pointless for it to even be in the past.
It is a fair criticism.
Anyway. We meet Zelda. She's there. She's talking to us.
She's okay. It's very exciting.
She reveals to us that she has a god inside of her.
Yeah.
And that's why she's been doing this. Hylia, after the war, in order to, you know, keep her power from falling into the wrong hands, she had made it so that a person of Skyloft would take the spirit of Hylia in her, and that is what Zelda is, and that kind of explains the whole thing of like why Zelda is important in this entire series.
Mm-hmm.
The whole reason why it's a descendant is because Zelda is a descendant of the god, and so that's kind of that's what it's really establishing here
of the vessel of the god.
Zelda is the avatar and has inherited the spirit of Ra or whatever.
That's great. I love that.
Yeah, that's exactly what
there
happens.
Yeah, that's totally it. I am she Pharaoh also, now. I am Ra.
The entire time this exposition was happening, I just watched the Mortal Kombat movies, like the old ones recently.
Oh, no.
And they kept talking about the old gods, and I was like, oh, yeah, so the elder gods decided that know, control of the Triforce would be decided by Mortal Kombat. So
right.
That's usually what happens.
This is where she also brings up the Triforce. This is the first time in the game that we have heard that term. And explains that this was sort of a weapon that was created to give to mortals.
By the old gods?
In order to help them. Yes, by the elder gods. And the whole reason that Demise is attacking and doing all this stuff was actually for the Triforce. They were actually going after this the whole time. And we didn't know that part of it this whole time. We were just like, bad guy do bad guy things. But it turns out bad guy want thing to do more bad guy things.
Well, I mean, there's also something else in that.
Which is what?
In that room. Right.
Zelda.
Well, yeah, they also want Zelda 2.
We all want Zelda 2.
Nobody wants Zelda 2.
Everybody loves Zelda 2. But we don't quite understand that at this part of the speech yet, but yes.
Is it now, they want Zelda because that is just like sort of the quick way to get to the Triforce, right? Like that's like using the power of Hylia would get them the weapon. That's well, how I took it, where
Gear,
we took the long
Gear, he
way.
He wants Zelda to
break the seal completely.
Hylia is the one who put the seal on the sacred ground. Hylia is also specifically the guardian of the Triforce. So if you have Hylia, if you have Zelda, you have the means to break the seal and the means to obtain the power of the Triforce, making you theoretically all powerful because you will have the power of the gods.
Old and new.
There we go. There we go. All right. But we got to do it. It's a Zelda game. So, and Zelda hasn't been taken away or imprisoned or trapped in something yet. So,
well, and
looks
and
like it's
Zelda's,
time.
It's time to
Zelda's
cry.
Also, Zelda's also Hylia and keeps going back and forth from talking that way. And at one point it's just like, look, dude, I'm sorry. You got swept up in this. I used you because I knew you would do anything for your friend and you have like an unbreakable spirit. And so I just kind of used that to get us all to this point. And now you have to say goodbye to your friend and I'm very sorry. But yeah.
Go ahead and just put her in this refrigerator and move on with the story.
And then Link cries. And then you cry.
We all cry.
It's so sad.
It's very sad.
That's her. We worked so hard. We did everything right. And she still ends up stuck in a giant amber crystal for an infinite amount of time. And also no time at all. And also an infinite amount of time.
She's just like the people that are affected by the time shift crystals now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
Zelda, I'm so sorry. I couldn't save you. He does the thing. He like leans against it and he like smacks his hand on the crystal. Oh, it's so good. Emotional damage. 100%.
So yeah, we talked to Empa.
So she goes and tells us that the only way she's going to wake up now is if Demise, this was another name that she brought up in all this, is finally taken care of. And so that is now our current quest, is to figure out what we can do with this whole Triforce thing. We got to figure out where that is, even though it's like, I thought we had it in our hand. Guess we didn't. We just now have the means of accessing it, but not fully. So we got to do that in the next episode. And so what we're going to end up doing is talking to a bunch of people, finding some dragons, doing some quests for them, and then hearing a brand new song and completing the final trial in Skyloft. So go ahead and do all that, and then we'll be back here and talk about it on Chat of the Wild. Thank you. Sorry, I'm just trying to use the Switch's feature of sending screenshots to your phone.
Right.
And it's garbage, and so it's not working very well.
Wait, a Nintendo internet function is garbage?
I figured out why I couldn't do it for a couple of years, and it was because of the firewall protection Stiffy's put on most of our routers.
Okay, yeah.
And it was just like, I'm not letting you do this. I don't know what that is. You know what, you're right.
Yeah,
I don't think Nintendo does.
Trust myself either. There we go. I'm going to be cutting all this out, but I just need you all to see this because it's so bad. And I know you all probably remember it, but just I need you to just take a look at it, though. Like, just take an extra 10 seconds to look at this thing.
Where is this?
It's in our group chat. It's...
It does look very N64, especially the
it's
wall
so bad.
On the side.
It's so bad.
The wall on the side is what does it.
Don't show us this. Period. Like, you didn't make a ceiling in this shot. You didn't put a sky wall or a skybox in this thing. You didn't do anything to make it look like dirt above you. You didn't do any of that. Don't do it at all. Don't show us this. This is bad. This is bad.
Yeah, dude. It's not like it even... It's not like it... There's like just textures that didn't load in. It just...
That's what it looks like. Yeah, that's what it looks like. Nope, that's a finished product. Anyway, let's get... okay, back to what'll stay on the recording. Or should we wrap up this episode? I think we might wrap up this episode.
The next episode is going to be so long if we put the lore into the first one.
It's not, though, because like even the stuff... We do a lot of stuff, but there's not a lot to talk about. Like, okay. Yes, we're going to be... Yeah, there's a lot of...
Let's put the lore in here. Let's put the lore in here. But Lauren goes here.
Okay.
But give me a second to go to the bathroom. I'm sorry.
See, I understand there was a lot of game time for the next part. Mm-hmm. But we don't need to talk about collecting all the tad tones.
You gotta collect all the tad tones. They're so cute.
Yeah, you have to. But we don't need to discuss it for 10 minutes.
We need to discuss how annoying it was for 10 minutes. For 10 years.
We're not gonna sing the individual melodies for each grouping of tad tones.
Yeah, I didn't bring...
I get it. Yeah, we can... Yep. I'm fine with doing lore.
That's all right.
Second half.
No, we'll do it now.